Welcome to Signal Noise Weekly. I'm your editor. This week, an active U.S.-Iran war, a ceasefire nobody agreed to, and markets doing something completely different from every headline you read. Let's get into it.
Big week.
Enormous week. Genuinely one of the messier media moments I've tracked in a while.
Okay, story one. Iran hits Israel. Missiles near a nuclear site. Strategist. The framing split on this was immediate.
Immediate and stark. NYT's headline was, Israel's missile defense under scrutiny. Think about what that's doing.
It's saying the shield is cracking.
Exactly. That's not Iran attacked. That's Israel might be vulnerable. Completely different emotional register.
And the right went the other direction?
Completely. Same strikes. Fox and the Examiner led with Iranian aggression. American resolve. The frame was strength, not fragility.
Okay, but here's what's interesting. The markets didn't care about either frame.
Of course they didn't.
Oil above 100, equities dropping. The money was pricing in escalation, not the narrative of we're fine or we're crumbling. It was just conflict premium, full stop.
Right, but the framing still matters for public opinion, even if the money ignores it.
Does it matter this week, though? Because by Thursday, the markets were moving on deal signals before any outlet had confirmed a deal.
That's actually the story I want to get to, but hold that. Strategist, the nuclear site angle. How loaded is that framing?
Very. Missiles near a nuclear site is doing a lot of work. It implies existential risk. It implies the war is a different category of conflict.
Which it might be. I'm not saying it's wrong.
No, I'm not saying it's wrong either. I'm saying the choice to lead with that detail versus leading with the military exchange is an editorial decision that shapes how readers understand stakes.
Right. And the right-leaning framing stripped that out entirely?
Largely, yeah. The emphasis was Iranian aggression, U.S. response capability. The nuclear proximity detail got buried or dropped.
So one side is reading existential threat to a nuclear facility, and the other is reading we hit back hard. Same week, same missiles.
Two different wars.
Basically. And that's before we even get to the ceasefire chaos.
Oh, the ceasefire chaos. Okay, story two. Trump declares victory. Tehran says what victory?
I mean, that's the whole story, right?
Walk me through what actually happened, because the framing split here was something.
So WAPO and The Guardian put the contradiction front and center. WAPO's headline was basically, Trump says war won, Iran says no talks are happening. That's a direct contradiction in the headline.
Which is the accurate headline. That is what happened.
Right, I'm not criticizing it. I'm saying the editorial choice was to foreground the contradiction rather than treat one side as authoritative.
And what did the right do with that same contradiction?
Leaned into the deal is coming frame. Trump's declaration got more weight. Iran's denial got treated as posturing.
Okay, but strategists, is that actually wrong? Diplomatic denials are often posturing. Iran publicly denying talks while Pakistan is literally hand-delivering a 15-point proposal?
That's fair, but the proposal itself is unconfirmed by Iran. They're not just spinning, they're genuinely disputing the framing of the entire negotiation.
So we have Trump claiming victory on day 25 of an active war, Iran still firing missiles at Israel, and the U.S. simultaneously sending more troops to the region.
2,800 troops from the 82nd Airborne? That's not a victory lap. That's a buildup.
And here is where the left-right split gets really interesting. NYT led with the troop deployment. 2,000 U.S. troops to the Middle East. Fox led with the deal signals.
Same week, same decision. One says escalation, one says resolution.
And the markets split the difference. Oil dropped 5% on the diplomatic signals, but equities were still nervous. The money was going. We believe the deal talk enough to fade oil, but not enough to go full risk on.
That's actually a pretty precise read.
The money is usually more precise than the headlines. That's the whole thing.
I want to go back to something, though. The troops story. The left buried it in some cases, too. There's a blind spot here that cuts across the aisle.
Say more.
NYT grouped the 82nd Airborne deployment with an AI story and attacks on Jewish sites in the same roundup. 3,000 soldiers heading to a war zone, treated as one bullet point among several.
3,000 paratroopers. One bullet point.
That's our blind spot for the week, actually. And it cuts left. The deployment got lost in the noise of the ceasefire theater.
Which is a pattern, right? When there's a shiny diplomatic story, the military logistics become background.
The logistics are the story, though. 3,000 82nd Airborne soldiers don't go home next week. That's a commitment. That's infrastructure.
And the right missed stuff, too. Forecaster, the Hormuz mining story.
Yeah, Iran accused of mining the Strait of Hormuz. Right-leaning outlets barely touched it, which is wild because that's a direct threat to oil supply and global shipping.
Is that ideological, though? Or is it just that the ceasefire story was eating all the oxygen?
Probably both. But the Hormuz mining story has massive market implications. Oil above 100 was partly because of that story.
And right-leaning outlets that love the energy dominance frame miss the story that most threatens global energy supply. That's a gap.
Yeah, that one's hard to explain editorially.
Unless you don't want to make the situation look more complicated than deal is coming.
There it is.
I mean, I don't want to overread that. It might just be resource allocation.
Strategist. 21 sources covered Iran threatens to close Strait of Hormuz. The right had 21 chances to pick it up.
Okay, that's a lot of chances.
All right, what the money thinks. Forecaster, you've been sitting on the prediction market data. Let's hear it.
Okay, so biggest swing this week. Will Trump visit China by April 30th? 2.5% probability. But it swung 29% this week.
29% swing on a 2% probability?
That's a massive move on a low probability event. That tells you the market thinks something changed, even if they don't think the trip is likely.
So the interpretation is, it went from effectively impossible to just very unlikely?
Exactly. And then, will Trump visit China by May 31st? 83%. By June 30th, 88%. Those are already high, and they kept climbing.
So the money thinks a Trump-China visit is basically locked in by summer.
By summer, yeah. The April timeline is noise. The broader trip is priced in.
Is that connected to the Iran story, though? China has influence with Iran. Is the market modeling a diplomatic package?
Oh, that's a good read. Honestly, I hadn't connected those explicitly, but...
Because if Trump is pursuing a deal via Pakistan and a China visit in the same window, that's a much bigger diplomatic play than any single headline captured.
Nobody put those two things together this week.
Nobody. 28 sources on markets soar on deal hopes and zero on what if China is part of the architecture here.
That's the story that wasn't written.
Yet.
Okay, rapid fire. Three quick ones. ICE at airports. Go.
Government shutdown, TSA staffing crisis, ICE deployed to manage lines, logistics story that became a politics story.
Guardian led with the shutdown politics. Neutral outlets led with the wait times. Right-leaning outlets largely missed it.
Missed it entirely. That's a blind spot. Right side this week didn't cover the ICE at airports story meaningfully.
Which is strange, because ICE doing non-immigration work is usually a story they'd like.
Fair point, actually.
AI regulation. Trump's federal framework. 30 seconds.
Washington Examiner endorsed it. CSM focused on the friction between federal oversight and state laws. nobody really interrogated the Anthropic government dispute underneath it.
Which is the more interesting story? A top AI lab in tension with the government that's trying to regulate AI? That's a conflict of interest story.
Buried. Moving on. FCC bans foreign routers.
BBC, passive headline, clinical. The Verge, the US government just banned. Active, emphatic. Same ban, different urgency.
It's a pattern. Follows the drone ban from December. The Verge connected those dots. BBC didn't.
And the right didn't cover it at all, which is wild for a national security tech story.
A story about banning Chinese routers and the right missed it. Okay.
The Iran story genuinely ate everything this week.
All right, what to watch next week? Strategist, you first.
Whether Iran's public denial of ceasefire talks holds. If they break silence and confirm any channel, the framing flips overnight. Every outlet has to rewrite the narrative.
Good one. Forecaster?
Oil. If we stay above 100, the deal talk isn't working. If it drops below 90, the money believes something real is happening. Watch the oil price like a lie detector.
I love that. Oil as lie detector.
It's more reliable than most op-eds, honestly.
Mine is the China angle. Nobody wrote it this week. If a Trump-China meeting gets confirmed, or even hinted at, in the context of the Iran deal, watch how outlets scramble to retrofit their narratives.
That's going to be a messy week of corrections.
Can't wait.
And that is the week. Active war, ceasefire nobody agreed to, markets doing their own thing entirely, the full breakdown, every story, every framing gap, every blind spot is at s2n.news. We'll see you next week.